Hi, this is Joe Francisco. Welcome to another Directions Media podcast. I had the opportunity to sit down with Mike Hickey, president of Pitney Bowes Business Insight, during the Insights Users Conference on May the 12th in Miami, Florida. Mike was one of the first senior executives at a major location intelligence company to clue me in to this shifting paradigm to cloud computing. And he's put into practice what he was preaching by literally changing his company's business model to accommodate this shift. He said it was a scary way to think to treat cloud computing as just a temporary business trend, because if it's not, says Hickey, you're in trouble. If you are in charge of purchasing software for your company, you won't want to miss this fascinating interview. Stay tuned.
Because something is, you know, obviously happening, and you saw it obviously before somebody else.
It's happening. I think of two recessions in a seven-year period changed people's minds about stuff, right? So it used to be everybody wanted everything custom, and they would pay for it because they could afford to pay for it. Now they can't afford to pay for it, and they're willing to, you know, they're willing to make sacrifices and to understand that value. But it's we know we can do on-premise, right? We've done that our whole life. And if this thing is real and we don't adapt to it, you know, you're dead. So yeah, we felt like we needed to energize the whole company around it.
Yeah. How much do you think it's matured in the last 12 months since last year at this time and now? Has the business model matured? Has the software matured? What's different now in the 12 intervening months that you see?
In our business or the industry?
Yeah, let's start with the industry, and then you can apply it directly to the PDVI.
Yeah. So I think what's happened since then is, I think, so these are things I've heard as I've read sort of the things of other companies that are also struggling in the marketplace that are big names, right? You heard last year, I think Microsoft, over the last year, had their first negative growth, you know, times ever. Now you hear that, I've heard rumors that they're devoting 90% of their efforts towards software as a service. If you think about SAP, right, it's they've had serious issues in their business. They've actually now, with some of their major key enterprise customers, have gone, they're sort of like adapting a pay model similar to software as a service before they have the software as a service platforms. So they'll sell their same old on-premise software, but now almost sell it with multi-year agreements, spreading out how somebody pays for it, so they don't have to pay everything up front. So that's sort of a short-term adjustment to what's going on. We did the same thing. So we did an enormous amount of deals in the last 15 weeks of last fiscal year, doing that same concept that SAP did. We didn't talk to each other about it. We sort of just, as we're talking to our customers, we're recognizing we got these deals out there. Our customers are interested in the deals, right? But they don't have the cash to do the deals. And in the old model, you pay the cash up front and then pay your maintenance over time, but you have to have that big cash outlay, right? And so the people in the business are interested in the technology. They think it could really have a great ROI in the business, yet they can't get the funding to do it.
Yeah.
And so that made us think, well, something's wrong here, you know. And maybe we think it's temporary. You know, some people think it's temporary. I'm one to believe that's a scary way to think, is that something's temporary, because if it's not, you're in trouble. So I always sort of like to plan for the worst case type thing. And that I do believe, in a sense, a lot of these things have changed, you know, forever on how people are going to buy. And people have been burnt too many times. So the focus, you know, for us started to be, how can we make it easier for them? So this is what they want. They really want to be sort of paying as they see the value, right? Then we came up with a similar model and started selling our on-premise stuff that way. At the same time, we're training all our developers. We're scanning the market for opportunities for acquisitions in this space. Multiples on those businesses are extremely high, right, because of the recurring business models in most cases. We're having conversations with all the platform players, trying to figure out the right partnerships, which have been interesting conversations. And, you know, we've learned a lot of that. We've actually engaged with some other people in this middleware space that help people take on-premise technology to the cloud. And so that's sort of all the learning and stuff that we have going on right now. There's still a lot of disconnects. So, you know, you'll hear, I had the analyst in the other day. We were talking to some of them, and it's actually surprising to me that still some of the analysts will say, well, software as a service won't really work. People don't want to put their, you know, the same old excuses that were there 10 years ago. People don't want to have their data you know, outside their firewalls in the cloud. And so the examples I'll give is, well, you know, I never thought I would have all of our internal communications and our communications with our customers outside the firewall, but guess what? How many people are converting to Microsoft Outlook now? Everything's in the cloud, right? How many people are going to Salesforce.com? Or all your customer information's in the cloud? Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but at home, over the last 18 months, I've probably gotten 5 letters from banks and institutions that have information about me, letting me know that my, you know, my information's been compromised.
Yeah.
Right? None of those are cloud solutions. Those are all on-premise solutions. So this whole idea that inside the firewall, and on-premise is safer and more secure than with older technologies is kind of backwards thinking, you know? As well as you got other people like IBM and stuff that are, you know, there'll be stuff where there's some computing going on in a cloud that everyone shares, and there'll be stuff, maybe a cloud with some of your secure data inside your firewall and how those communicate back and forth. I mean, all that stuff will happen. So I just think it's only a matter of time. I think the world's changing forever.
Yeah, and I think what may be pushing it is that people see, you know, what Google has done with Google Docs, for example. Yeah. Nobody thought that you'd ever have that kind of spreadsheet capability in a cloud system, and that you can, you know, store your files, yeah, you know, wherever. I think that's going to change a lot of people's mindset as well.
We think about the instant of everything. You know, everything is around us now. Everybody wants something new, and they want it quick, and they want this and that. And so the ability to add value, to add features, to react to what's happening at any point in time, to take data information that might be coming from multiple sources. I mean, that's all. It's so dynamic. You can't do that in the old model. You can't. It's almost like the hunger and the thirst for that technology fix, right, cannot be supplied via the old business model.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I addressed with Mike Hickey was the ability for Pitney Bowes Business Insight to attack the small to medium business size marketplace and what he calls the long tail for marketing applications with location technology to build a true business intelligence solution for these small companies. Here's what he had to say.
No, so the idea is with that whole thing when you focus on the SMB marketplace, because the tail, the long tail, is actually a bigger opportunity, right, than the enterprise marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue was, how would you ever get at the long tail? You know, how would you ever have a sales force that's going to sell to the long tail, right? And so that's a good thing about software as a service, right? And now with web and software as a service, you have a way you can market via the web, right? You can get into viral marketing things, you know, social media type things to market your products. You can now deliver that value proposition and give those people the same capabilities that an enterprise player would have. Mm-hmm. So I look at it as offering enterprise capability to the small, medium business owner on a transaction type basis. So, you know, the thing is, you wouldn't have gotten those people before. When you look at collectively, if it's a small 10-person business, would we ever have sold them an enterprise thing before? No.
Might not even sold them a copy of map.
We might not have, right? Mm-hmm. But now we can go in, and if you have 4 or 5 people in the business that are actually helping do the marketing or whatever, they pay for it by person that uses it, by function and stuff that they use, and you have to figure that out. You wouldn't want to have a situation where an enterprise could switch to the model and be a lot cheaper than what you pay over cost on the enterprise. So you do have to make sure things are protected. But because it comes down to the person using it, right? I don't have to buy everything up front and then hope I get people using it. I got one person that uses it, well, that's what I'll pay for. I'll have a license for one person to use it. Or if I have 4 people using it, great. If I have to cut back my staff in the future, right, the difficult times are there and I'm cutting back, it's a variable cost model. I'll knock my licenses back down. Because you really usually, in that model, make your commitments for 2 or 3 years. But after that, you're on a month-to-month basis.
So then I asked Hickey what his pricing strategy was going to be to address the small to medium-sized business, the SMB marketplace. Was it going to be on a subscription basis or on a transaction basis? Here is his response.
So one of the advantages that we have is, so in our businesses in the past, we haven't sold much into the SMB marketplace, but PB has. So PB has a very large footprint in the SMB marketplace. Exactly. And so the idea is, now what we're doing is looking across the company. We're creating a sort of a portal for the SMB marketplace, where so we've got 57 different SaaS projects going on across PB. Mm. So our business isn't the only one that does software. Many of the other ones do as well. So we have right now, that product that you talked about is one of our contributions into that portal. But you think about it, you know, over time, if you're a small business person, you have this portal that you can go to and you could do marketing programs, you know, actually send out mailers, you know, get target lists, campaign manage, you know, all your campaigns, right? Get dashboards that show you how you're doing. It shows you where your return is on your marketing programs. You know, you think about how valuable that can be for a small business. They would never have those opportunities. Before.
Right.
So we believe with the combination of Pitney Bowes, the reach and footprint in the small, medium business, our ability to understand some of those that technology and across PB, putting the different technology pieces together, I think we're excited because it's a brand new channel.
There's a challenge that, you know, for you in developing solutions to move to the cloud or SaaS environment, but there's also the challenge of getting the clients to move from a desktop model to a SaaS model. Do you have any feeling for the adoption period, how long that may take to move, or what you've heard that's first feedback from the clients?
Yeah, so it's funny because you'll get some clients that will react to, well, I don't want that. I don't want SaaS, software as a service. They have this whole idea in their mind, what they think it might be. And then once you start engaging in conversations about the value that it's bringing them and how easy it is and how quickly they'll be able to get up and get started and how flexible the whole thing is and how you can add features and functions, you know, a lot more incrementally, easily over time and faster, they start to get excited about it. And then they'll end up saying, they'll go from saying, I don't want that, to being actually then saying, well, I don't care where it is, that's great, I can do that, to then to the point of saying, that's exactly how I want it.
Mm-hmm.
So the part right now is when you get in that cycle of those communications.
So. Great. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Joe.
Appreciate your time. Yeah.
Very good.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you'd like to comment, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.